الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدمه ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before we start our talk proper, by way of introduction, a few things. One is, Bhai Shaheen told me that Maulana Nazir here says that we should come and speak a little bit on what tasawwuf is. Let it introduce the subject, introduce us what it is. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq. We are here, and hopefully Allah put the right words, correct understanding, and let us understand what this subject is all about. And then, alhamdulillah, the khutbah that I read, so many two times Habib's name came, one time Bashir and Nadir, all mashallah, Hazrat Maulana Sanjali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's children's names, and we are also in that masjid today, mashallah. So it gives us a great, great happiness to be back here, where we found our roots. We are back to our roots again, and from where we started our studies, etc., in Miasam. Alhamdulillah, and with Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Rahmatan Wasi'ah, our Ustad, Mufti Bashir Sahib, Manan Nazir Sahib, all. Allah Ta'ala give them high, high stages, and the whole Mia family also, all that we stayed here all the time. We studied by Mufti Sahib every day. May Allah reward them tremendously, inshallah. Also, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahumullah, says that always before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnats of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can become alive in the ummah again. And really, the sunnats are the life wire for this ummah. It is the sunnats that keeps us alive, and that will bring us onto the correct faraiz, that will bring us onto the correct orientation of deen, that will give us the correct understanding of deen, and to practice on deen correctly. It will only come if we adhere to the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah, he said a beautiful poem with regard to the importance of sunnat. And Allah in His kindness has made this poem famous in the whole world. The poem is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. What does this mean? To follow on the footsteps, Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow in the footsteps of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the road to Jannat. Anyone, if we are here, we are Bakhlu, We follow the boards that will show us Kempton Park. We'll come out in Kempton Park. We follow the boards that show us Pretoria. We'll come out in Pretoria. So anyone in his life will follow the boards of Sunnat. That means he brings Sunnat into his life, he will see he'll come out in Jannat. But Jannat is still very far. Now we have to live our whole lives, life of the Qabr so long, the day of Qiyamah so long, and inshaAllah, Allah grant us all the Muslims Jannat, so it is very far. So it is, and Jannat is credit, it's not cash yet. It will come inshaAllah on its time, but we have to wait. And the other thing is that Jannat is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And the creation can never compare with the Creator. Allah Rabbul Izzat is the Creator. How beautiful Jannat is, and we cannot imagine how beautiful it is. But if Allah wishes to, He can make it even more beautiful. And Allah is beautifying it also all the time. Allah has made this one Jannat with 100 layers according, 100 stages according to one riwayat. Allah can make another 10, 20 Jannats. So Allah's Qudrat is above everything. So Jannat is one, it is credit, and the other, it is inferior to Allah. It's not nice for us to use the word inferior for Jannat, but compared to Allah, Tabaraka Ta'ala, Allah is Allah. Allah is so great. So by following Sunnats, we will get the Jannat also, which is credit also, and which is the creation. And at the same time, Allah se milate hai Sunnat ke raaste. And a person gets connected to Allah Rabbul Izzat by following Sunnat. So Allah will get now cash, not credit. And Allah, the creator of Jannat, you will get. The creator of this whole world, the creator of everything, Allah Ta'ala, we will get if we just follow the Sunnat. So we can see how important and how valuable Sunnats are. May Allah give us this understanding, and we make an effort on a daily basis to try and bring Sunnat into our lives. And our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has written a beautiful, very short kitab, small kitab, pocket size it is. Pyare Nabi ki Pyari Sunnat. The beautiful Sunnats of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we keep one of them, they are easily available. Otherwise, get it from the Darul Uloom in Azadwal, from the Khanqa, speak to Bhai Shaheen here, anyone. And then the Sunnats are written very simply there. Try and read one Sunnat for 1 week in the house. Keep on reading it, and then we try and bring it into our lives. And then we ask also in the family who is following the Sunnat, who is practicing on the Sunnat, and we try and propagate it and tell others also, so it will become very, very easy. Even if we don't make, if we are not unfortunately making any ta'aleem, just make ta'aleem of this one Sunnat, 1 minute only, and it's very easy. And one ta'aleem of a Sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our homes, what rahmat of Allah. We all today generally have got problems in the home. Somebody financial problems, somebody domestic problems, somebody illnesses and sicknesses. People are plagued with all these things. And this is all when shaitan is overtaking. Shaitan overtakes us. We've got TV in the house. On our cell phone, we've got all other wrong things there. So that is open invitation for shaitan. And shaitan doesn't just come on his own. He brings all the problems. It looks very nice, but he brings all the problems. And if we have ta'aleem in the house, Allah's rahmat will come. Shaitans will go away from there. And then in that house, Allah's rahmat, happiness between husband and wife, diseases, illnesses, Allah will dispel, and goodness will come into that home, and most of all, Allah will be happy. And our Jannat will be made, which is our eternal abode. So Allah give us tawfiq, try and acquire this kitab, and read one Sunnat, and repeat it every day. So we are not small children who go to school, university, and we sit and study and swat. But just by repeating it, talking about it, we will learn it also. It will come in practice also, and Allah's rahmat will come. So one Sunnat that I will mention, which is a very, very valuable Sunnat, very easy, and that is that when we leave our homes in the morning, read the simple du'as. All of us know this du'a. What is this du'a? Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We all know this dua. And when we read these three du'as, Bismillah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah appoints an angel, Farishta, immediately at our door. And he in return gives us three du'as. We make three du'as, he gives us three du'as. What are the three? And three very, very valuable du'as for our times of today. The first du'a he gives, Wuqita, you have got your protection for the day. Today everything, the first thing is safety, security. We are all worried of safety and security. So we tried all our security, but we just hearing terrible, terrible news we getting. Here there was a murder, there there was a robbery, there there was a hijacking. Allah save us all. So use the definite method which Allah has given. We read this dua, Allah gives. The farishta is making dua for telling you, you got your protection for the day. In other words, you have signed a contract with Allah that your protection for the day will be done. Second, he gives the dua, kufita, your needs for the day will be fulfilled. A person leaves his home because of his needs, he has to eat, he has to clothe himself, his family, his children, he has to feed, all his needs. The farishta is giving you dua that your needs will be fulfilled. How many needs we got, how many problems we got are not being sorted out? Farishta gives you dua that your needs are fulfilled. And the third is also very, very important, very vital. Hudita, you got your hidayat for the day, which is the most important. If we don't have hidayat, everything is lost. If our iman is gone, everything is gone. So the farishta gives us, and especially in these days, as it comes in the hadith, a time will come. A person will wake up in the morning, he will be a mu'min. By the evening, he'll have lost his iman, he'll be a kafir. A person will be a mu'min at night. By the morning, he will be a kafir. Allah save us. Perhaps earlier times people wonder that at night you won't sleep. What's going to make you a kafir at night? But in these times, we see people with their phones on the computer, and where and where they're in contact with them, what they're doing. We don't know what's happening in the interim to our iman with all these connections and all that we are doing. So, especially at these times, that farishta's du'as, that hidayat for you. What a great du'a. And we teach it to the whole family. Children go out, they got the protection, they got the hidayat, they got the needs satisfied. So, and the greatest thing is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah give us tawfiq that we read this dua. Well, how long does it take? And we all know it. Just let us put it together. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We'll remember inshallah, we'll try and read it. And very good, write it and just leave it by the door. Many people do that, then it will be a reminder. And if we have forgot the sequence, the du'as, we all know who doesn't know Bismillah, who doesn't know Tawakkaltu ala Allah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But in that sequence, we put it there. Then we read, it will be a reminder also. And one very easy way is when we go from here, go and tell the wife and children, every day you must read this du'a when you leave home. And when we will forget, if anybody else will be a bit shy to tell us, you didn't read the du'a. But the wife won't be shy. She will tell us properly. You telling us you're the big mufti, you telling us to read the dua, and you yourself not reading it. And more than the wife, the children. The children will say, Abba, you tell us to read, but you're not reading it. And they will make us read it. And in this way it can come into our lives. And one sunnah will come, and one sunnah pulls another sunnah. Two sunnahs pull another two sunnahs. And in this way our life will come become of sunnah. And Allah loves the way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as Allah loved and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah, we will also get a share in that love. Allah Ta'ala will love us also. Allah give us tawfiq to bring every sunnah into our lives inshallah. The ayat kareema I have recited of the Quran Sharif is in the 13th supara, but before we come to that, we all know we were born to our mothers gave birth to us, and the way we were conceived, our father's mother met, and then we were conceived. In about 4 months, 4 months, 10 days, roughly that amount, this body of ours was made in the womb of the mother. The whole body was made, but there was no life in it. The eyes were there, couldn't see. The tongue was there, couldn't. Nothing could happen. It was just like dead. And then after about 4 months and 10 days, the ruh, Allah put the ruh in the body, life. Now life came into that body. For about another 5 months, we stayed in the mother's womb. And now there was life. The mother feels the movements. She goes to the gynae. The gynae will also ask, you feeling movements? What is happening? It has to be all in order. And then the child is born. And we all were also babies. We were also born in that way. So we are all, as we are sitting here now too, there are two main components of ours. One is this body that we are seeing. And one is the soul, the ruh. That we all understand and we all know it is like that. And of the two, the most important, which will be the more important, the body or the soul? The soul will be more important, because when the soul came, life came. If there wasn't no soul, the child will be born a lifeless child, a stillborn. We have to go and bury the child. Or if it life came and after 1-2 months, there was no life now, that means that ruh went out. So now also a stillborn child, it has to be buried. Now as I'm sitting here, we all are sitting, the ruh is in us. So we are all functioning, we are talking, we are listening, we are seeing, we are doing everything. But if this ruh has to be taken out, the eyes will still be there, but now they can't see. The tongue will be there, it can't speak. The hands will be there, but they can't move anymore. Nothing can be done. So the ruh is most important. And the ruh is the original traveler. This body is only a vehicle, transport. Let's call it a car, whatever. Today most common mode of transport is a car. So the car, this transport is just from the mother's womb until the qabr. To transport the main traveler, which is the ruh. The ruh came from alam-e-arwah. It stayed within the mother's womb with the child. And then it comes into this world for 60, 70 years, whatever it is, more or less. Then it leaves now. Just like we go to the airport, we are going for Umrah. We go with our car, our children, or somebody goes and drop us. So we sit in the car till the airport. Then we either park it for long time parking, or the people dropped us. Now we leave the car alone. Now we're going with another transport, the aeroplane. We will go to Jeddah. So like that also, from the time of birth, this body is the transport of the main traveler, the ruh. And that is till the time of the death, qabr. Then Allah Ta'ala gives another form of transport. Ulama explain it's something like this body, something a little different. For some people who are extremely pious, the same body remains also. And they remain forever, that coffin remains fresh, the body remains fresh. No changes if a person lived like that. Then we will go, the ruh will carry on its journey, it will leave the qabr also alone. Then will come the day of qiyamah, all hisab, kitab, crossing of pul sirat, which is all very arduous and very strenuous. It's not an easy journey. And then it is either jannat or jahannam. Go to jannat, what a life there will be. Allah save us, our children, our family, all our beloved ones, the whole ummah. And Allah save the whole of mankind and jinn. Give them all also hidayat and let them all get saved also. Otherwise, Allah save us. Jahannam, whether it's temporary or whether it's, Allah save us there completely. So this is the journey that we are going. So we are in this world now. And everything that is going to happen at the time of mort and after that depends on this life of ours. This life of, we see it a long life, 60, 70, some people 80, some people 90, some people 40, 20, 30. People are just passing away at any age. There is no guarantee how much Allah Ta'ala has given. Now during this period that we are here, the soul that came from Allah Ta'ala, the ruh, it inclines towards akhirat again. It inclines towards Jannah, staying away from Jahannam. It wants to go in that direction. But this body is made with the things of this world, the sand, etc. From the sand, the things that grow, vegetation, that the animals also eat. We eat the animals, cows, goats, etc. Chicken, all that we eat. The vegetable, fruit we eat is all from the ground. Then that all changes into blood in the body. From the blood, the semen is made, money is made. From that semen, the human body is made now. and everything. So we are from the sand, we are from the films of this dunya. So when we are of this dunya, this body of ours inclines to dunya. We like the enjoyments of this dunya, food of this dunya, we like business, we like money. That's just by nature, it's in a human being, all these things to have this. But all this is very temporary. It's only for the dunya. And the ruh, it knows its journey is going right through. So it doesn't just look here. To understand that, one little example comes to mind. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayh was once travelling by train, and he had more goods than what you are allowed to take. Just like we know in the aeroplane, we are allowed 20 kilos, 20, 22 kilos, whatever it might be. So in the trains also, there is a certain amount that you are allowed, much more, but a certain amount. His was more than that. Now when he got on the train, in his place, the station manager, or the person who checks, he knew Maulana. So he says, no, it's alright, you can carry on, it doesn't matter. We will feel it's a great favor of Allah, just say I'm a big buzur. They told me you can carry on. But Maulana was not like that. Maulana, not only that he refused, but what a beautiful way he gave da'awat in that. He said, you are telling me I can go, but when I'm on the train, the conductor there, he's going to take me to task. He will charge me. So he says, no, I'll speak to him. I know him also. I'll tell him that this is our friend and it's all right. So Maulana said, but I'm going on a very long journey. After so many hours, the conductors change on the train. Other conductor will come. So he said, I'll tell him to tell that conductor also. But he said, I'm even going more further. So he said, I'll tell that conductor, must tell the other conductor. He said, I'm going to Qiyamah's day. Eh? Then on Qiyamah's day, I will be taken to task. You didn't pay for the extra goods. You just took it like that. We will take it as a big favor of Allah Ta'ala. But see, these people who are concerned that where the ruh is going, what is going to happen. A traffic cop stops us for speeding, etc. And we just tell him a story, or we just put a 50 rand, 100 rand with our ID, with our driver's license. We thought, I got away and we are happy. You know, Allah help me, I just got away. But it's not like that, it's a very serious matter. So we just take it, immediately we sort out our thing, I'm sorted out. And what's going to happen afterwards? Just like Maulana Yunus Daya was telling us just now, we were having tea with him. He says, Hakim Yusuf of Hakwet told him that today, he told Maulana Yunus, in your lifetime you will see that man will develop breasts like women have breasts. So he said, how come? He says, this chicken we are eating, what they are injecting it with and what they are feeding it, the hormones and things. And then he told me two people are going for operations to remove their breasts. And one person, a man, got breast cancer. And this is for women to have breasts, not for men, but the food that we are eating. So we just see now that food must be nice, enjoyable, whatever it might be. Just now get my things up. But what the end result is, we don't look at that. That we are a wise person who knows that my journey is carrying on. I mustn't just be worried for now. This is the one great aspect of what we call this tasawwuf. And tasawwuf is a misnomer. We should understand, this is islah, reformation, correction of our life, to get hidayat in our lives. That is what we require. So we must not see now what is the thing. We can buy something. Once I went, I bought something, and the person that I bought it from told the person at the till, 115. So they pressed 1 rand 15. But it was 115 actually. So Allah gave tawfiq, when I came home, I see they only charged me 1 rand 15. Whereas it's 115. Allah gave tawfiq, I went back, I told them, they asked, you're a Muslim. I said, yeah. I said, nobody else can do this besides a Muslim. Allah keep our reputation. So yeah, I could be very happy, but Allah's help can just see. It was 115 rand, I got it for 1 rand 15. So I'm very happy about it. Eh? But actually, I will have to answer for it. Finally, on the day of Qiyamah, I have to answer. And many of our things are like this. Whether it's in our business, our day-to-day things, whatever it is. There are genuine good businessmen also. Somebody leaves the change. Many of them will keep it, give it away, sadaqah. If that person doesn't come, find out the masala, others will be just too happy, put it to, yeah. And as Maulana Nu'mani of Pit Ratif used to say, if it's a 5 cent, then you make big announcement, somebody's 5 cent, who's 5 cent, and if it's a 50 rand note, quickly we just put it quietly in the pocket. Then we don't ask somebody's 50 rand, who's 50 rand is it? Then quietly we just bring it nearer, and then all our sisters just push it into the pocket. Hey, so our taqwa also is like that, small things, very pious we are. When it comes big things, then we just go to town with everything. Allah forgive us. So this is that consciousness. So the ruh, the body, is just looking at the immediate things. One beautiful example is given, two friends or brothers doing business together, long time. So after some time, they had acquired a very good profit. For example, in those days, 8,000 gold coins. In our time, say $80 million, or whatever, £80 million, euros they had made. So then for whatever reason, they decided to split. He took 40, he took 40. The one brother, what he said, 40, he built a beautiful palace, wonderful palace, for about 20 million rand, so just to let us understand. The other brother saw, oh, he built a palace of 20 million. He took 20 million and he gave to masjids, madrasas, to the poor, widows, needy, etc. After that, this brother got married. He spent another million, 10 million, so to say, more or less, on his wedding. Big wedding, inviting people, a big show. That person took 10 million, again he spent on the poor, the needy, and good causes. Like that, both spend their money. Now, what it looks immediately, this brother is enjoying beautiful big palace, that person is still staying in a little shanty, he's still hand to mouth, he's loving girls, got it, but he spent on the poor, he spent on the needy, he spent on the madrasas, on the masjids, on good causes he spent. And this person is living it up. Then he got married, a beautiful wife, rich man, he got the what type of wife he wanted to, big wedding, a big show, and everything carrying on. That person, again, just the ordinary, finally, both died. Now this one who spent, Allah Ta'ala told him, when he said, Allah, I'm spending my money for the poor, needy, not just for good causes, you must give me a palace in Jannah. So Allah said, yes, your palace in Jannah. And then, when that person married that wife of his, he told Allah Ta'ala, you must get me married to a Hurul Ain. And so that Allah said, yes, your Hurul Ain, and not one, how many Allah will give there? And everything, the gardens, he had made beautiful gardens there, and he said, I will spend on the good causes, and oh Allah, you must give me the beautiful gardens of Jannah. Allah told, yeah, all your gardens. So he got all that, and forever that is. And this person, he squandered it, he used it in haram, he did all the wrong things. For a little while he enjoyed. And that little while, the Allah can be 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, whatever it is. And now, then the suffering comes. So we must not see the body, the nafs, it just wants to see immediately what I can get. What enjoyment. We have a problem with the wife, for example. So one person, he was going home late at night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Police stopped him, where are you going, 2 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing on the road? He said, I'm going for a lecture, bayan. This time, 2 o'clock in the morning, bayan. He said, I'm going home, when I get home, my wife's going to give me a heavy bayan, but where were you till now? So anyway, that when we, with the wife, husband, we have arguments, etc. They also, just to get away, we usually speak alike. And we say, this poor woman, you know, we just make her. You just tell her some story or something, and she, what she knows? She doesn't know, somebody else knows. And somebody else is watching. Meri nazar par, unke nazar paas ba rahe. On my eyes, his eyes were watching my eyes, where they are looking. Afsos, is khabar se, no be khabar tha. What a pity, I didn't know. I thought I got cameras here, but I don't know on my cameras, there were other cameras. The cameras of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala was watching me what I was doing. So here also we can lie, if sort it out, finish, no problem. Everything is over. What then, what we do? Just speak a lie and get away. But finally that line, Allahu Akbar. One Sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can a mu'min, a Muslim, commit adultery? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, he can make the mistake. Can a Muslim lie? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he can't lie.
He's either a Muslim or either he's a liar. But he can't be both. A perfect Muslim, it means, of course. So, but today lying is so common amongst us. Unnecessarily we lie. For small, small messages, just to make people laugh. Some make somebody else happy, we lie. And it's a gunah kabira. And the sin of lying is so, the punishment is so terrible. But no, we don't think about it. Backbiting. All our buzurgs, right? Whether it's the ulama, whether it's the pious people, whoever it is, all are involved in backbiting. And backbiting worse than adultery, worse than eating interest, worse than all that gunas, but we are so much in it. And we justify ourselves. We say, mustn't backbite, but. Mustn't talk bad about somebody, but. And there we start. And the people who listen are also equally in that guna. So all this, the nafs likes all this. So it requires a great effort to restrain our nafs. Just to understand that example also a bit more. You bought a brand new BMW, top of the range, latest model. You brought it home, you parked it outside, you are going to, you go to the family, you say, I bought this BM. Before you know, your young boy, 17, 16, 17, he can drive. And in Delhi, just show me the key. And before you know what, he's gone with the key. And in the residential area, he speeds up, and there he capsizes the car. His life is gone. All, what of, and we hear, this happens all the time. How many cases like that? How many people, our young children, we are grown-ups, we are not young children. We buy the squad cars, off-road cars, and they go and play. What accidents we make. But we don't take a lesson. All these things we do, and it happens all the time. And we spend our money, and we use it in all those type of things. And all that money just is wasted also, and we sit with big, big problems. Just somebody is in a coma for so long, somebody died in this way, somebody became paralyzed, all these things. So, now the young boy, he took the big BM. He was not in control of the BM, the BM was in control of him. That is the problem. Otherwise, if you are a good driver, and the road is clear, besides the speed limits, we've got speed, Germany no speed limits, you can speed what you want to, but we've got speed limits. So if you are driving at 200 kilometers per hour, but the car is in your control, no problem. But if you are driving at 10 kilometers per hour, but the car is out of control. Now just lately, Maulana Olga of Durban, his grandchild, got killed just by the car reversing. At what speed you reverse? Very small speed, slow speed. But the child got killed. The car was out of control. One time, the founders of Darul Uloom Newcastle, the three people, one of them, he came with his car to park it by the garage. So those days wasn't all this automatic gates and all that. So he left the automatic car and he went and left the gate so the car can go. The little child pushed the car into drive. And they drove, and they drove over the old man. The car just moved. But what speed? Hardly any speed. But there, a death took place when the car was not in control. So the same way, if our nafs is in control of our ruh, we have all these problems. And the nafs wants all these things. Enjoyment now. The food now. The money now, make it, whether it's halal, haram, this transaction, that transaction, we won't pay this tax, we won't do that, we won't do that, we'll make a big amount. So the nafs likes all that, but it is, the ruh is like dead, now can't do anything. So the nafs is in control. This year, at the moment, we're going to enjoy for a little while. Possibly, possibly not also. Perhaps you get caught right there and then. But normally, Allah's system, He gives you rope. When you want to do it that way, you carry on. Now you're also happy that what I'm doing is not haram business, it's not wrong things. I got a contact on my phone, I'm having a chat with this person, I'm having a chat with that person, I'm enjoying it, that person, it's so nice to feel like this, all this business, yeah. But finally, later on, when the dirt comes out, and the filth comes out, then you don't know where to hide your face, you don't know what to do. What happens suddenly now? All our haram money that we hate, it has to come. where it comes in this world, otherwise in the akhirah, unless Allah, we sort out our matters, we clear up our matters, that is the tip. And this is also the great mercy of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, that Allah has made it so easy for us. We make tawbah, we correct our, otherwise Allah could make the law, you made a mistake, finish, nothing. You're in this world, if you did wrong, and you admit your fault, possibly they let you on a life sentence. Because you say, I'm guilty, I did wrong, I bear for. Very seldom they say, okay, scot-free. Otherwise you have to beg for forgiveness from the state president, clemency from the state president, perhaps. And what's the procedure? So by Allah, Allah has made it very easy. You just ask for maaf, He makes you maaf. And you correct your matters. You say, I was making namaz for so long. I wasn't keeping rozas, I never paid my zakat. Now you correct all your matters, Allah will forgive you. You go straight to Jannah. So kind and merciful is Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So what all this effort is, what we call tasawwuf, what we call islahi nafs, we sometimes hear islahi jalsa, we hear somebody is going to a majlis, this majalis, all that is that the ruh must be in control of the body, and the body must not be in control of the ruh. You must be in control of the car must not be in control of you. You must be in control of your wife must not control you. You must be controlling your children must not control you. When this happens, then everything will go well. Hey, everything. If otherwise, the body is in control of the soul, and the body wants all the enjoyments now. It doesn't worry what's going to happen. Today, how many people, our health, what we are eating, and what sicknesses are coming. Unbelievable sicknesses. A person commits the worst type of sexual crimes. Finally, he sits with AIDS. What is it? Now, at that time, it appears all very rosy. But afterwards, what's the terrible disease you pick up? So in the same way, all that this is, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says in the Quran Sharif, Allah quoted his nafs, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ. I don't say my nafs, my desires of mine are pure and clean. It's all in the hand. We got nothing in our control. We have to beg Allah. And when we beg Allah, Allah gives it to us. We must have the desire to go to Allah. So when we do that, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This body of ours, it tells us a lot. Do this wrong, do that wrong, do this wrong. Business, do it this way, that way. You want to satisfy yourself, your wife now, you're tired of her. Now look for somebody else. Tired of her, look for somebody else. Everything we just want to do wrong. So this nafs is like that. It's always telling us to do wrong. Illa ma rahima rabbi. But that nafs, that Allah makes raham on it. And Allah will make raham on everyone. We must look at the time when Allah's rahmat comes. Like the month of Ramadan, use it for our correction. Time of namaz, be in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. From the time of Adhan, it comes in the riwayat, the doors of the heavens open up. And you ask Allah for whatever you want to, Allah sends it for you. But we are not in the masjid Adhan time. If we are talking with one another. That's the time to turn to Allah. Adwa bayna al-adhan wal-iqama la yurad. The adhan, the dua between adhan and iqama, tabbir, it's not rejected. Friday, from the time the imam goes on to the minbar, till the time the namaz is finished, duas are readily accepted. Not only that time between the two khutbas, that is even more. But that whole time duas are accepted. But many of us are sleeping that time. Many of us today, unfortunately, people perhaps will be sitting at the back talking also, which is very serious. But that is the time, make du'as to Allah Ta'ala. And see what Allah Ta'ala, so when the ruh will be in charge, we will get all this. As long as our nafs, today our nafs is in charge. Allahu Akbar. Ulama have written that this nafs ammara, which is in 13th supara. How does a person know that I've got a nafs ammara, or what have I got? What kind of a nafs is mine? They say that if you committing guna and you enjoying the guna, that your nafs is a nafs ammara. That you not even think a person who commits a guna and is enjoying the guna, and unfortunately perhaps all of us, our condition is that. When we are looking at another woman, we are looking at porn, we are chatting with somebody, we are doing a business deal where legally we could have done so much. Now we are doing 10 times the amount, but it's illegal. We enjoy that now. We're buying a new car with that. We're going for a holiday with that money. We're enjoying. Guna is that nafs is in a very bad condition. Terrible condition, that nafs is. The other sign that our nafs is that terrible nafs stuff is when we cause somebody else harm and we enjoy it. Like, for example, is given with madrasa students, hostels, when we were in the hostel here, where this thing should happen in the hostel, you get food from home. Somebody steals your food, now you're looking for your food, you can't get it. Then they tell you, okay, buy some cold drinks for us, we got a parcel food and we will share it. Your food, you have to buy the cold drink, you have to give all, and they're giving you your, and they're all laughing about it. Eh? That's a terrible guna, to cause somebody some harm and laugh about it. Today it's very common, we hide away somebody's key, just in jokes, in fun. And that person is parishan, where is my keys, what's happening, where is it? And we enjoying the thing. That is, the nafs is in a terrible condition, more worse than ICU condition, more worse than cancer, more worse than any disease, our nafs is like that. And we're happy about it. So, and unfortunately, most of us, we hardly know we got nafs. If we know, somebody, now we're talking, now it's in our mind. But just as soon as we finish here, before namaz starts, it's out of our mind again. That I've got a nafs, nafs is my enemy. If there is a snake outside, we all will be frightened here inside. And if there's a snake inside the house, if there's a snake in your bed, a snake under your pillow, and you get the cases in those places where there are lots of snakes, right in the house, right under the pillow, you get a snake. What will be our more worse than that? This nafs is inside. Allah is in a jambayk. In the a'da aduwika, your worst enemy is the one that is right in you. It's our nafs. But we're not even conscious of that enemy. We got the worst snake inside us, but we're not even conscious about it. So how bad is our condition? And yet we feel, I'm all right. I'm making my 5 times namaz. I dress according to sunnah. So I'm all right. No, it's not like that. We have to become conscious. When a person realizes and makes, this is what is called this tasawwuf. This is called what is this islah. You become conscious and now you start working. Bring your nafs under control. And let the ruh take over. Let the ruh control. Many countries, the government is out of control. Chaos in that country. Now it takes the military or somebody who has great effort again to bring some order, some system in that country. We are totally out of control. Every one of us practically, we are totally out of control. Our nafs is just running, causing havoc within us. Whatever we want to be in our namaz, whatever thought comes, and we just carry on. Reading Quran, making dua. And they are also thinking of this and we're thinking of that, completely out of control. So, and it's not difficult, it's not hard. Just bring the ruh to be in control and everything will come in control. Everything. Where, for example, drug lords are running the show. We know what chaos is carrying on there. Where there are gangs, or what do you call them, these crooks and they club together. They are causing robbing here, robbing there. What are they doing? So many things. The kidnappings. What is the story behind it? This whole cartels and these people, when they are running the show, we know nobody is safe. If that government becomes strong again, the police becomes strong and becomes right, and they control, everyone has peace. So within us, we can't expect it at government level. We can't expect it at police level until we don't correct our own selves. Our ruh must come in control of our nafs. Then everything will come right. But we are not even conscious of it. We don't say, this is this effort which our buzurgs, Allah reward them, they came to our country. They told us, these are things you have to worry about. You can't just carry on like nothing. Moth came, finish, he's gone, he's dead. No, that's not. That's the starting of the story. This dunya is nothing compared to what's going to happen there, good or bad. May Allah grant us all the good in His great, great, great mercy. He is very merciful. We are fully in His mercy. But we must know where we are going, what direction we are going. Then the nafs becomes lawwama if we make effort. We will still commit guna, but at least now we will feel guilty. Now I feel bad. what a terrible person you are. Allah gives you so much. You got a nice house, you got a wife, you got your children, you got your business, your income, everything. And you're still making you don't make shukr to Allah. You don't even say Bismillah when you start eating. You don't even say Alhamdulillah. You drink water, no Bismillah, no Alhamdulillah. Now you start feeling guilty. When death comes, that's a good sign. Now you are moving on. When you start feeling guilty. When you start feeling guilty, you will come to the next nafsul mutma'inna. Now your nafs will be at ease. You make peace with Allah Ta'ala, you got peace with everyone. Now no more all these problems, fights with this one, fights with the children, fights with the wife, this customer, that customer, this person, every... Today our condition is, we are running madrasa by us Darul Uloom, but problems. We are running a dini institute. Now this student got a problem. That father got a problem. This ustad got a problem. No peace. But when we will have things in order, Allah will grant us peace in all these things. Things will run smooth. We won't have all these problems. And then two honorary degrees Allah will give us at the time of mort. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. That you are pleased with Allah. Allah has pleased you. Now what a journey you are going to. And otherwise, Allahu Akbar. The farishta of Malakul Maut comes and he says, Akhriju, come out, ruh, come out from there. And the ruh doesn't want to come out because it sees if some crooks come here outside and they tell us, come out, we won't want to go out. But if you just got married, and now you have to take your wife home, and they tell you, here's your wife sitting in the car, come sit. Now you're going to hide away. Now you're going to run and go. If we lived our lives like that, and now when Malakul Maut will come, we will be just too eager to go. And if we did not, and we left the nafs in charge all the time, and the nafs and shaitan also. Shaitan on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be made to march to Jahannam, and they are on the way to their destruction and to their doom, Shaitan will be standing on the way. And then Shaitan will say there, فَلَا تَلُومُونِ وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't tell me that. Tell yourself that. وَأَنَا مِنْ مُسْرِفِكُمْ. I didn't force you. I only told you do this. I only told you do that. Get involved with that woman. Get involved with this haram business. Get involved with this fight with this person. Fight with your parents, fight with this person. I only told you that. I didn't get to force you to do all that. So why are you swearing me? Now imagine you are on your way to Allah save us. And still Shaitan is telling you all this also on top. And also when we do all this wrong, when we are here in this dunya, you help one another, you have made a nice party, all mixed people and everything, and music and everything, everyone helping to do. Qiyamah today, no help. All fighting, you told me to do this. No, you told me. You will be fighting there. You will absolve yourself and you are still fighting with one another. It's unimaginable what that condition will be. So all this effort is that nafs al-lawwama which it comes out from the beginning, it is like this. Little children, they don't want other children to play with their toys. They've got that greed in them, selfishness in them. That little children, they want that sweet, their stomach. I want that sweet, I want this, I want that. It has to be trained. And then as we grow up also, we don't train it. We just let the wild life go. And the ruh, we not, no food of the ruh, 5 times namaz. If we're making namaz, no concentration in namaz. Nothing like that. So all that has to come into us. And I am the most in need. We are all in need of this. So therefore, these majalis are held, these programs are held, this Islahi jalsas are held, so that all these things can come into us. We love Allah. If we bring that Islamic way of life properly and we bring the ruh to control the body, we will have a peaceful life in this world. Enjoy life of Jannat Allah will grant already here. Man amila saliham min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. Allah has promised with stress, I will give them an enjoyable life in this dunya. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And in the akhirat, what they did, what much more I will give them. They only did so much, they only deserve so much, but I will give them much more. So this is up to us now. And this is this effort. And we got this little time, we don't know when our mort will come. First of all, may let us make tawbah sincerely to Allah Ta'ala. and then turn to Allah and we start changing our lives like this. We bring it. And it's very difficult to do it on our own. Many of us try from now and change it. But it hardly goes a little while and we fall back again. But if we have somebody on us, that is why we have to have a sheikh who will guide us, who will tell us all the time, don't do this, do that. And we know we have to again go to the sheikh, we have to ask him again. We do that, proper contact also, then inshallah we will be on our way. Nafs will come under control. Nafs is like a baby, and nafs is a tifl. Your baby, if you leave it wild, what and what won't it do? But you control your baby, it will do all hard work also. Go to school, madrasa, become a alim, become a hafiz. But you just leave it like a wild thing, nothing you let the child do. You will become a delinquent, you will become a drug addict, you will become a terrible thing in society. But you control the child, you will become a leader of the society. So that is the nafs of ours, we have to learn to control it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness, inshallah. If anyone got any answer or question, if we know the answer, we'll tell you. And if we don't know, we'll refer you to somebody. Talk about this here, about what is this tazkiyah, what is this tasawwuf. Somebody thinks, one or other thing. Many of us got this, what is tasawwuf? Some miracles. And something where people got karamas. And people, they just look at you and your life changes. And also what? That we are, all our haram work we are doing. And we see our business is not going right. Spice in the house. Now we want one ta'weez. And that body sub ta'weez is very strong. It's not all, it doesn't work like that. It's nothing like that. Oh, that buzurg, you got a court case, murder. You are guilty in that murder case. Now buzurg must make some dua and everything, the whole court must fly away. And the whole court will come. It doesn't work like that. We have to bring ourselves to correct ourselves. So this, or the buzurg that flies in the air, etc. Our buzurg say that some people are very impressed. If we, even myself, if all of us, we hear there's a certain buzurg someplace and he flies in the air, we will say, what a buzurg. And if we just have to see him flying, but that is absolutely nothing. A fly flies in the air. So if that is buzurgi and piety and big karamat that you fly in the air, then we should become back to a fly. And say, Hazrat flies up, and there isn't a buzurg more greater than you. You fly in the air. I can't fly, I'm so big, and I can't even fly in the air. So ought to somebody walk on the water. Oh, that water buzurg, he walks on the water. No, that is no buzurgi. Buzurgi is to fulfill the commands of Allah in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we stay away from all haram. We are weak, we are going to make mistakes, no problem. We are going to make mistakes. Don't think that if you become a buzurg, you won't commit one guna also. No, we will make. But just like we now, inshallah, Isha namaz is going to be there. Most of us got our wuzu. Possibly some of us our wuzu broke also. So no problem, you will make wuzu. That's all, and then you join in. Doesn't mean if your wuzu broke now you can't make namaz. No, you will make wuzu. That's all, and then your namaz is correct. So if our taqwa broke, we made a guna. Allah made it so easy, make tawbah, and you are again right. No problem. If you lost your iman, Allah protect us. Read your kalima again. Accept iman again, and you become Muslim again. So easy Allah Ta'ala made it. So this is what we have to do to correct ourselves. Allah give us all tawfiq inshaAllah. Read the Durood Sharif inshaAllah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا، وارحمنا أن نتكلف ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك
وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من الفعل والقول والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب.